Picture waking up to a world where facts have lost all meaning, where your neighbor believes one set of truths, you believe another, and there's no shared ground to stand on. This isn't dystopian fiction. It's the unsettling reality we're living in. We've entered what some call the post-truth era, where feelings trump facts and lies spread faster than corrections. But how did we get here? The answer is more complex and disturbing than you might think. It's a story that weaves together totalitarian playbooks, academic philosophy gone rogue, and technology that promised connection but delivered division. Understanding this journey isn't just intellectually interesting, it's essential for survival in a world where truth itself has become a casualty. Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia perfected destroying truth, flood the zone with lies, make language meaningless, and people lose the ability to distinguish reality from propaganda. Hannah Arendt warned that totalitarianism thrives when fact and fiction blur. People become putty in your hands. These patterns resurface today, not identically, but the warning signs flash. Contempt for expertise, emotion over evidence, weaponized language. Stefan Zweig described how freedoms vanished rapidly. The Nazis implemented their agenda gradually, only a small pill at a time, while newspapers reassured readers the movement would collapse. Authoritarian regimes attack language first because language shapes thought. Orwell invented Newspeak to show how controlling words controls minds. Viktor Klemperer documented how Nazis transformed German itself, turning fanatical from insult to compliment, making certain ideas literally unthinkable by eliminating the vocabulary to express them. The intellectual ammunition for today's assault on truth came from an unexpected source, left-wing academia. Postmodernism, born in 1960s universities, argued that all truth is subjective, filtered through power, race, and gender. Liberating for art and literature, but applied to science and history, it opened Pandora's box. If there's no objective reality, just competing narratives, why should climate science trump oil company propaganda? The alt-right exploited this opening. Internet troll Mike Cernovich invoked postmodernism directly. If everything is a narrative, then we need alternatives to the dominant narrative. Meanwhile, narcissism metastasized into the selfie age. When feelings trumped facts, politicians governed by gut instinct. Newt Gingrich, confronted with FBI crime statistics, declared, "As a political candidate, I'll go with how people feel." This wasn't intellectual laziness. It was rejecting the Enlightenment idea that reason should guide human affairs. The 1960s fractured official narratives. Television provided platforms for deception, and Lee Atwater's perception is reality became governing principle. But the internet took this to unforeseen levels. Enter someone who spent decades perfecting reality manipulation, first in real estate, then reality TV, finally in politics. The model? Create spectacle, dominate attention, never let truth obstruct a good story. Claim your building has 68 floors when it has 58. Invent fake personas to praise yourself to reporters. Turn governance into performance art where spectacle trumps substance. This weaponizes what Daniel Boorstin called pseudo-events, manufactured occurrences staged primarily to be reported. We've entered the hyper-real, where fabricated realities feel more compelling than boring facts. John Baudrillard suggested people now prefer Disneyland to the desert of the real. When a documentary filmmaker borrowed the Soviet term hyper-normalization, the parallel was chilling. Citizens recognize propaganda's absurdity, yet can't imagine alternatives, allowing those in power to play with reality at will. Today's assault on language is less systematic but equally corrosive. It's the jumble of insults, boasts, and non sequiturs that intimidate and gaslight. Official documents riddled with spelling errors suggest contempt for precision itself. Tweets become policy pronouncements, escalating international tensions in 280 characters. Umberto Eco identified patterns common to fascist rhetoric, appeals to nationalism, rejection of rational discourse, simplified language limiting critical thinking, Most tellingly, positioning oneself as the voice of the people, claiming to represent popular will while bypassing democratic institutions. When disagreement becomes treason and complexity becomes elitism, language becomes a weapon destroying shared understanding itself. Americans now inhabit separate realities, different facts, different histories, different universes. Pew surveys show Democrats and Republicans view each other as fundamentally immoral and dangerous, not just policy opponents. This tribalism has replaced E pluribus unum with us versus them. Technology accelerated this sorting. Starting around 1980, Americans began self-segregating by values, choosing neighborhoods reflecting their worldview. The internet turbocharged this tendency, enabling ideological bubbles where we consume only confirming news. Gerrymandering created safe districts, tilting toward extremes. The middle ground collapsed. Right-wing media evolved into a self-reinforcing ecosystem. A Harvard study found pro-Trump audiences relied on this insulated knowledge community that reinforces shared worldviews while undermining mainstream journalism. Once psychologically walled off, outside views become easily discredited. Confirmation bias, embracing supporting information while rejecting contradictory facts, amplifies in-group settings, creating peer pressure toward conformity and accelerating extremism. Tim Berners-Lee's vision of the web as a universal information system collapsed when social media became Americans' primary news source. By 2016, top fake news stories on Facebook outperformed legitimate journalism. Russian operatives published 80,000 Facebook posts seen by 126 million Americans, exploiting divisions over race, immigration, and gun rights. They micro-targeted 50 to 60,000 customized ads daily and ran voter suppression through dark posts visible only to recipients. Russia's propaganda playbook defines our post-truth moment. Lenin's tactics, using confusion to rally masses, making simplistic promises, employing violent rhetoric to evoke hatred, aversion, and contempt, have been adopted by modern populists. Contemporary Russian propaganda operates as the fire hose of falsehood, an unremitting stream of lies delivered with tireless aggression. The volume is the point. Outrage gives way to fatigue, then cynicism. As Garry Kasparov noted, modern propaganda aims to exhaust critical thinking and annihilate truth. America developed its own cynicism after the 2008 crash. While banks escaped consequences, working people struggled amid rising inequality. This nihilism manifests as carelessness, WikiLeaks endangering Afghan civilians, fake news creators profiting through ads, trolling as political strategy. As David Foster Wallace observed, postmodern irony is critical and destructive, but unuseful when it comes to constructing anything, breeding a culture where sarcasm and suspicion have become the water in which we swim. Neil Postman's 1985 warning that we were amusing ourselves to death applies even more urgently today. George Washington's 1796 farewell address reads like prophecy, cautioning against cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men who might usurp for themselves the reins of government. Citizens must defy the cynicism autocrats depend on. The Parkland shooting survivors showed how, rejecting fatalism and turning grief into action. We must protect democracy's pillars, the three branches of government, education, and a free press. Jefferson wrote that our first object should therefore be to leave open to him all the avenues to truth. Without commonly agreed upon facts, rational debate becomes impossible. This isn't academic, it's existential. The battle for truth is the battle for democracy itself. We must reclaim the common ground of factual reality, not alternative facts, not competing narratives, but verifiable truth that exists independently of what we wish were true. Because once truth dies, everything else follows.